Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
You of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You'll not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now you'll notice that they still had to go out. They still had to do something, because it's always an act of faith. It's always the battle is won as an act of obedience to our faith. And then later on in the verse it says, verse 21, it says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Catch that. As they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambush against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. And they were defeated. Verse 24. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, and they hadn't even got to the battle yet, when they got to the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and they were dead bodies fallen on the ground. No one had escaped. They hadn't even fought the fight. They'd only just sung. They just sang. And God went out and fought the fight. How good is that? I love that. That's a great scripture. That's an amazing thing. He goes out and does battle, comes back and calls you mighty warrior. That's incredible. Because the victory is the Lord's. Thing. At the end of the book of Revelations, chapter 22 and verse 17, just turn there. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Three times I've heard today about the living water. In heaven there's a throne, and God sits upon the throne. And from that throne flows water, from under the throne. And that water is living water, and it goes out to the nations. We don't see it because it's spiritually discerned. But it's real. It's very real. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you asked me for water, I would give you to drink, and you would never thirst again. And she said, I'd like some of that. I'd like never to have to thirst again. It's not in the natural, it's in the spiritual. Because we're really thirsty spiritually. humanity is starving to death. They don't know it, but they are. Without the spiritual input from God, we are rusting husks, destined for the grave. But in Christ, he makes us alive in him. So yet though we die, yet do we live. And we read those scriptures and go, well, that just seems a bit cryptic. But when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, and you are born again, there's something on the inside of us that's not alive. It's we look alive, but we're not. There's this thing on the inside of us. It's the spirit, and it's not alive. But without it, we can't go into eternity. So when God breathes upon us, he fills us with his spirit, and that spirit that was dead is now alive, and we are born again. It's a simple metaphor, but God uses it a lot. John 3, you'll read that in. But the Spirit and the bride say, come. I want to continue a bit with what I started with last week, which was on unity. And, you know, I want to continue with, the, you know, there's no difference between Father God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Father is in Jesus, Jesus in the Father, and the Holy Ghost is in them all, and they are one. They act as one, they work as one, they walk as one. If you're looking for a title for my message for this week, last week it was one, this week it's two. Deep. I know, it's really deep. Diane wanted me to put up a thing on Facebook yesterday. It just said the number two. I said that might be a tad deep for most people to get. They may not quite understand that. We might just use my key scripture. And then last night we were on Facebook and we saw that Liberty were having a unity meeting, awakening meeting, which was really all about church unity. And what song were they singing? The Spirit and the Bride say, come. I think God's saying something. Do you ever notice sometimes you hit one traffic light and you seem to get them all? Or you get a green traffic light and they're all green. We're all saying, yes, please. Sometimes we just seem to be out of sync somehow. We're not quite meshing with the world around us. And it's those times when we've got to step back and ask God, bring me in sync. And you'll see the stuff happening in your life because stuff happens. And those things are there not for our detriment, but to teach us something of God, to teach us something about his kingdom. And one of those things that God instituted was marriage. And then what he says about marriage is that a man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It's a really important thing for us to get. In our modern world, marriage is denigrated. It's not important for some people. Some people think that marriage is an archaic, outdated mode of whatever. But it was instituted by God for a reason. And God doesn't do anything without a reason. Everything that he puts in is for a purpose, to teach us something of himself. I want to open in prayer this morning with the thought that if we would be completely unified, then it would draw people to the church, which is the bride of Jesus, which ultimately would bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. So let's just open in prayer this morning. I pray, Father, that Central Life Church would prosper, that everyone who considers themselves a family member would stand unified in mind, spirit, and body, that we as your church would prosper beyond all our wildest expectations, so that we as your body, being your bride, would become attractive to those seeking you, so that the name of your Son Jesus would be honored and glorified. Amen. That's my heart, church, is that the church becomes so attractive to the world that they are just drawn to it. Unfortunately, much religion, as Dave was saying, has entered into the church, and people are repulsed by religion, and I am too. I can't stand it. Two things I don't talk about, religion and politics. It's good advice, I think. I don't talk about religion at all. I talk about the reality of Jesus Christ. I talk about the reality of God in my life. I talk about how that when I pray, God answers. When he hears me in the secret place, he speaks it in the open. Diane and I were at a meeting on Thursday night. We went and saw a prophet out at Beddoe Bay, with another church. And the lady decided she would prophesy over Diane and I. And we were the only people she prophesied over, so I was very thankful, grateful. But the stuff that she said was on the, just boom. She talked about being in the secret place. She talked about spending time with God in the secret place. And you know me, I spend a lot of time with God in a secret place. Diane walks in, you're talking to yourself? No, I'm praying, talking to God. There's something about spending time in the secret place with God. He's listening, church. He hears every prayer you've ever prayed. He's seen every tear you've ever cried. He's seen every heartbreak you've ever experienced. He's seen every trauma you've ever been through. Again, if we could see in the spiritual, we would see his angels around us. The mystery of Christ and the church. Two will become one flesh. God has given us this metaphor of marriage that we see that is in a relation, which Jesus, how can I put this? I'm married to Jesus. He's my husband. He's your husband. Now, I won't go down that other track. We'll leave that right alone. But what I'm saying is that the church is married to Jesus. And the scriptures that talk about marriage are there to teach us some stuff about how we are to respond to our husband, who is Jesus. That's their purpose. But we can't even get there if we're not unified. Be a bit like a bride coming to the wedding. She's got half a wedding dress on. She's got a half a bikini on. She's got one red shoe, one blue shoe. She's got a full-length glove on her left hand, but nothing on her right. One half of her hair is all nicely done. The other side looks like it's just got out of bed. I'm painting a good picture, aren't I? You know, she didn't brush her teeth that morning. She got a couple of black ones in there, you know. And she comes up to Jesus and puts out her arms and said, "Oh, Lord, come into her husband." You know what he does? Throws his arms around her and says, "Gee, I love you." That's Jesus. But he's tidying up his bride. That's what he's doing. We're seeing it worldwide. We're seeing that God is moving over the church to tidy up his bride. Not that he doesn't love her warts and all, but he knows that when we become that bride, that attractive bride to Jesus, we will be attractive to the world. They're going to come in, they're going to get healed, they're going to get restored. We're going to see mighty miracles. We're going to see the power of God move. We'll see blind eyes open, deaf ears healed. I'll be on for that one. We'll see the lame walk. We'll see amazing things. We'll see diseases cured as they walk through the door. You know, we'll see osteoporosis destroyed as they walk through the door. They'll just stand upright. Boom. Healed and restored. I love that. Anyone in for that one? Yeah. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians in the New Testament. And we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're just going to read from verse 22. Actually, we'll start in 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. When I first got married, I was a very young man. And I wasn't overly wise. And I sat Diane down one day and opened up the Bible and I read out this scripture. I barely escaped with my life because I didn't understand what it meant. I've learned since. I might be the head, but she's the neck and she turns me any way she likes. And what do you call a man who says he's the head of the house? Liar. It's just the truth. So that word submit is a different, it's poorly translated. But basically means to respect, to honour, to reverence, to, you know, be honourable towards, you know, that's what it really means. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. You know, some men do use this scripture as a way to mandate and control their wives. And if you think that way, you've completely missed the point. That's not the intent of the verse, or any verse for that matter. When we understand the true nature of free will, we know that it must be given freely. Jesus doesn't want to coerce us, doesn't want to manipulate us, doesn't want to force us to love him. He would rather not have us at all than to have to do any of those things. He simply just wants us to love him because he's Lord, because we love him. And that free will of love is acceptable to God. Anything else is, it's just not good enough. It's not, I would hate it if Diane just, she just put up with me. I mean, she does, but, if she just put up with me, that's Keith, that's my husband, But she loves me. She does. She actually loves me. I know that's a... Some of you are just sitting there thinking, how the heck? Oh, love is blind. Thank God for that. But that's the nature of God and the church. He loves us. And he wants us to love him back. He doesn't want to force us. He doesn't want to force us to worship. But there's something in worship that breaks the chains, breaks the bonds, blows the cobwebs out. I don't know about you this morning, but all my cobwebs are gone. Whew, that was good, Brett. That was good. That was good. Oh. Husbands is the head of the wife, also as Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives subject the husbands. Husbands, now here's a good one, husbands. I want you to catch this one. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and died for it and gave himself for her. Push comes to shove, husbands, you're to die for your wife. Which means you lay down your agenda, your desire, your wants, needs, all those things. You put that all aside so that your wife is blessed, so that your wife is honored, so that your wife is uplifted. That's our job. Like in the church, as a husband, we are the greatest servants in our house. We should be. I'm a terrible cook. I could cook, but we probably wouldn't. It wouldn't be good. Wouldn't be good. Burnt toast every night just doesn't cut it, But we should give ourselves for the church, for our wives, and for the church, of course. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or anything, such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Catch that, guys. He who loves his wife loves himself. It's the truth. Because we are one flesh, the two become one. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Even when we're not walking right, we're not acting right towards God, he's always acting right towards us. Always. There's Old Testament prophets who often spoke about how Israel was like an adulterous wife, running around, sleeping with all different people all around the place, the metaphor. And God constantly said, but I have not given you a bill of divorcement, but I have kept you. That's an amazing love, isn't it? Not many of us would do that, If your husband or your wife ran off with another woman or another man, you're not going to be taking them. You're not going to be real keen to be taking them back. That's us in our human nature, but that's not how God is. When we muck up, when we stuff up, when we make our mistakes, God's always there to welcome us home. He's always there to wrap his arms around us and to love us. He's completely different to how we act. Verse 32. For we are members of one body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his mother, father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And Paul writes, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's an amazing piece of scripture. He's really giving us the first inkling of how the church should act towards Jesus and how we are his bride. It's the first time we see that in scripture, that concept that we are his bride, although God in the Old Testament gave that idea. But they didn't get it. Israel and the Old Testament didn't see that they were the bride of God. They didn't quite get it. And in the New Testament, I think many churches don't understand that we are the bride of Jesus. And it's really important. It's an important aspect to understand. And the reason that God has given us marriage and the way he has given it to us isn't so that husbands can lord over their wives. It's actually quite the opposite. It's so that we understand how his love works. Okay, turn that light off. It is buzzing, isn't it? It's probably going through the thing there. Stop the buzzing, yes. Now pull that light out. Okay. We the church respect our husband Jesus. We come under his authority, not out of compulsion or as if we're being coerced. We do it because we love him. We worship him because we love him. None of us have ever seen Jesus in the flesh. We may have had visions and dreams. I've had visions and dreams of Jesus, but I've never seen him in the flesh. And that is where faith steps in. Faith steps in because we simply believe. We believe Jesus is Lord and Saviour. We know that he is because when we pray, he answers. When we as the church unify with Jesus, we start to say the same things as he does. That's really important, church, is that when we unify and as we start to unify in spirit with our husband Jesus, we start saying the same things that our husband says. We start speaking his language. We start speaking the way that he speaks to people outside of the church. He's loving and compassionate and ever merciful. Although our sins are like scarlet, he says, I shall wash them away and make them as white as snow. God's got a big forgettery, bigger than mine. I've got getting a bigger forgettery, I must admit. My forgettery is getting bigger than my memory. Anyone else in that boat? But God's got a huge forgettery. When he takes your sins away, when you repent of your sins and you ask Jesus to forgive you, they are thrown into the sea of forgetfulness and they are never remembered again. So when the book is opened up on the day and he opens it up, you'll go, oh, there's an empty page. Another empty page. Another empty page. Oh, you're saved by the blood of the Lamb. Cool. It'll be a short book. But the world will come before him in judgment and their book will be opened as well. And all of their sins will be labelled out. Half of them, they don't even know they're sinning. completely unaware of it. That's what we're here to do, church. We're here to show holiness. We're here to show righteousness. We're here to show the world how to reach Jesus. And it's not through works, lest any of us would boast, but it's out of faith. And it's a free gift of God. Even our repentance isn't from us. It says that He gives us repentance. It's God that actually turns our own hearts towards Him. So that we start seeing, I need you, Jesus. Far too many people get their lives into such a mess. It's such a mess. Before they'll go, I think I need some help. Don't let your life get to there. Be quick to repent. Be quick to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I made a mistake there. Forgive me. And then move on. Because don't forget, the judgment begins at the house of God. It starts with us. Judge yourself so you won't be judged. They're wise words. God wants us to walk in love, complete love, to one another and to those outside of us. When you get an opportunity, speak the love of Jesus to somebody. You know, Jesus didn't speak to everybody. He didn't heal everybody. Those that came to Him, He healed. Give you two examples. A woman came to Jesus one day and said, my son is ill, would you heal him? He basically was very politically incorrect and called her a dog. He says, I'm sorry, it's not for me to give the bread to the dogs. He called her a dog. Now, she could have decided, this Jesus is an idiot. I think I'm just going to take my little offense and run away. Instead, her need was greater than her offense. She jumped over her fence and she said, yes, but even the dogs eat from the crumbs from the table. Now, Jesus had already said, I don't do anything of myself. I only do that which I see the Father doing. I'm teaching you a lesson here, church. I only do that which I see the Father doing. But he had been specifically told not to go to outside of Israel. Hence the comment about being a dog. The woman was Samaritan. She was outside of Israel. He wasn't allowed to speak to her. But when he saw faith in this woman, do you know what he realized? Faith doesn't come from us. It comes from above. So when the faith came down on the woman, he knew that God was giving him permission to speak. So he healed her. He even said, turned around, I've not seen such great faith in the whole of Israel. And we see that in two instances. The woman at the well. The woman at the well, A, he's sitting talking to a woman on his own in their culture, which was a no-no. She was a Samaritan, so she was there at midday because she was not well-liked in the town because she had had five husbands and everyone knew it. So she didn't come with all the other women to get the water out. So Jesus knew there was something going on here straight away. Let's read the story. In John chapter 4, verse book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And in chapter 4. Jesus, first of all, in verse 7 says, it says in verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. I want you to catch a few things out of that little verse. Jesus asks her a question. Sometimes we need to just ask a question to see if there's any faith response. And if there's none, walk away. Don't continue it. But if there's a faith response, and you see the faith response, you know you can continue the conversation. There's a response here. If you know that, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who sits, says to you, give me a drink, you would be asking him and he would have given you living water. Then down, you know, you have nothing to draw with, blah, blah, blah. Then he says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become to him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, and so I don't have to come out here at midday and draw the water. Really, that's what she was asking. Then he said to her, go and call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on the mountain, and you Jews say that it is in Jerusalem, the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. At this point, the disciples came back. Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I have ever done, ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples... Anyway, the point being here is that when Jesus saw faith arise in the woman, he spoke to her, and that faith saved a whole city. And that city was never supposed to receive the word of God at that time. There's something about your faith, if you use your faith here, can pull something of your future into your now. Samaria was never supposed to receive the word there. They were supposed to receive it in the future, after Paul went to Samaria, 10 years later. But this woman's faith and going into her town and the people coming out brought something of their future into their now. That's important, church. Faith does that. Don't wait for your now and wait for then. Have it now. God spoke to me in a dream this week and he said to me, say this, now, now, now. Too many of us are waiting for what God might do in the future, or when he comes, or when the Lord returns. No, it's in the now, church, in the now. Bring your future into your now. And that all happens by faith. Simple act of obedience and faith. If you're speaking to someone on the word of God and you're wondering, you've got that little voice and you're saying, oh, you should probably say something about Jesus here. It's probably good that you obey that voice and just mention something. I went to church on Sunday. It was awesome. And see if it sparks anything. Does it spark oh, wow, you go to church, do you? Yeah? Or does it spark, oh, yeah. You'll know. And we'll be able to see where God is working, because that's where faith has been dropped. And where you see where faith has dropped, that's where you can work. You might hear somebody who says, oh, man, I've got a sore shoulder. It's been shocking. Yeah. I was at church on the weekend. They were talking about healing shoulders. Would you mind if I prayed for you? If they say, oh, I'd love you to pray for me. Well, you've got faith. You can do that. If they say, oh, well, you know, oh, no, it'll be all right, I think. Well, that's fine. Leave them with their sore shoulder. I've just come out of hospital. You know, I've got this, I've got that. Wow, you know, I believe that God heals today. If you get a, you know, would you mind if I pray for you? And if you get a, yes, please, and you pray for them, and you believe with them, you stand in agreement with them, because the prayer of agreement will heal the sick. We got to act in faith, and we got to watch for faith. And that's how we know where we can work. Not every tree bears fruit. Not every plant bears fruit. We need to have open eyes to see what God is doing and what Father is doing, we can do. And if we will unify in prayer of agreement, and if we will marry our husband Jesus and have him speak through us, we'll change the world. We truly will. We'll see things that will just blow our minds. Over the years, I've seen amazing miracles, signs and wonders, all sorts of things. I've seen amazing stuff over the years. But that was in my past. It's gone. I want it in my now. Amen? I want to see it in my now. I want to see people healed in my now. I want to see the church prospering in the now. I want to see, you know, the worship go to a whole new level in our now. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus. And Lord, we just we take him unto ourselves, Lord, as if he were our husband, Lord God. And we ask that, Lord Jesus, you would speak through us. You'd speak through us in the secret place. That you'd speak through us in our day-to-day lives, Lord God. That we would see people come to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. You know, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour this morning, I'd really encourage you to come to know him as Lord and Saviour. Because it will be the best decision you've ever made. It's simple. It's easy. All you need to do is ask him into your life. Tell him that you're sorry for your sins, even if you don't know what they are. You might even think that you're pretty good. Well, I've not sinned. Good luck. But, you know, Even if you don't know that you've sinned, you can say, Lord, forgive me for any sins, even the ones I don't know about. Would you come into my life? Would you change my life? Would you make me one of yours? You know? It's an easy prayer. Any one of us here will pray with you. You know, just tap somebody on the shoulder and say, I'd like to pray to Jesus. I'd like to get born again. You know. And by the way, does anybody have a sore shoulder? Brett, you got something? You got a sore shoulder?
There's people here that need healing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. You're going to pray? You're going to pray too? Yep. Brett's going to pray too. If you've got a sore shoulder, if you need healing, if you need restoration in your body, it doesn't matter what it is. If you've been given a bad report this week, you come down now in the name of Jesus. We're going to declare that you're going to be healed. We probably can't remove the titanium out of your shoulder there, buddy, but it's all good. God can heal it.
God can do anything.
He can. Actually, I heard a testimony of a guy who had a pacemaker put in, and he fell over in the service, and when he got up, they took him off to the hospital, and his doctor that put the pacemaker was there and got very upset with him and said, I'm not talking to you. He said, why is that? He said, I don't like people who play around with my procedures. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, I put a pacemaker in and now it's gone. Nothing's impossible for God. Yep.
I'd just like to share, probably a lot of you know that we went to the Philippines and we've seen so many miracles there, like creative miracles, people with blind eyes, people having strokes, one side of their body just in bed, getting up, people with brain tumours, getting up. God is healing. We've got to just realise that He's a miracle-working God and He wants to heal you. You don't say, oh, if that be God's will, it is His will. He wants to heal. It's that simple. That's His will. To heal, to restore, to give life. He's come to bring life and life to the fullest. If you're struggling because of illness, sickness is preventing that, come to the altar. He will heal. He will heal. He is here. It's got nothing to do with us. It's Him. He just says, He's the healer. It's that simple. Please don't walk away here today without a touch from God. Please don't walk out of here. Even without coming to the Lord. If you don't know God, if you don't know Him intimately, if you don't know, if you would die, I don't like to say this, but some people, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? If that's in your heart, I don't know. Please don't walk out of here without knowing Jesus Christ who saves your soul. Please don't miss that opportunity. It's time, like the days are serious. The times are getting harder out there. There's so many people taking their own lives. God, it's not God's will that young children are getting bullied on Facebook and taking their own lives. That's just terrible. That's terrible. Please don't walk out of here without knowing Jesus, please.
So for all of those who'd like to pray, I'd like the prayers to come up. So everyone who feels, wants to pray, you come up and pray as well. It's not about the paid holy man. You know how it works. So come up and pray. Come up and pray. Get out of your chairs. Get out of your chairs. Come on. Come on, pray. Father, we declare in the name of Jesus that Rhonda's shoulder will be healed.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.